I wonder if you've ever wanted to go on an adventure and you've never been able to do it. I wonder if all of your life there's this great experience that you wanted to go on. There was an adventure, or there was something that you wanted to do with someone, with your spouse, with your brother, with somebody who you'd always wanted to do this one adventure, and you'd never been able to do it. Maybe it was a flight. Maybe it was a trip up to Mount Everest. Maybe it was a trip down to the bottom of the sea. Whatever it is, you'd always wanted to go on this adventure. My name's Keith Harcombe, and we're in week 3 of our little series we're doing at the movies. And we're going through some movies to help us understand our faith and help us understand how it means, what it means to be a church, be the kind of people that want to follow Jesus. Last week we talked about The Incredibles. Did you guys go and watch it? I know Cindy did back here, but this week we're talking about Disney's classic Up. U-P, Up. Anyone see it? Good. Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's about an old man who really wanted to go on an adventure. All his life he wanted to go on his adventure with his dear wife, Evie. And of course, sadly, the beginning of the movie, it starts awful. Yeah, he loses his wife, Evie, and he never gets to go on the adventure to Paradise Falls. And the whole movie is about him going on an adventure to Paradise Falls. This adventure he always wanted to go on. This is Mr. Fredrickson here at the bottom hanging off. And this is Carl, and this is the dog. And then there's the bird at the top there. And his house floating to Paradise Falls. He's a balloon salesman. And he's that good of a balloon salesman, he can float his house. Mr. Fredrickson is crotchety, he's miserable, and he's sad that he never got to go on the adventure he always wanted to go on with his wife, Evie. And he doesn't like the neighborhood he's in anymore. There's some gentrification going on, and there's all these buildings going up around him, and he's miserable. Finally, he decides to put up all the balloons and get his house to literally fly out the neighborhood. Anyone want to do that? He wants to fly out the neighborhood with these balloons. And just before he's to go on this great adventure, there's a knock on the door. Good afternoon. My name is Carl. I am an adventurer, and I want to help you cross the road. Can I help you cross your garden? Can I help you cross the street? And he slams the door in him, and he puts his foot in the door to stop him closing him. And grumpy Mr. Fredrickson opens the door once again. What? Go on, skip to the end. Go on. Well, I've got one last badge to get on my sash, on my Boy Scout sash. And that is to help the elderly. Can I help you cross your street? Can I help you do something for you? And Mr. Fredrickson wants to get this guy off his patio. He wants to get off on his great big journey, his big adventure that he always wanted to go on. And he sends him on a fool's errand. He says, why don't you go down here and find that? Have you seen that bird? I'm old and frail, and I can't find the bird by myself. He says, if you clap 3 times and go 2 blocks down the street, you'll find it, and that'll help the elderly. So off he goes down the street, clapping. Floats his house in the air. House floats up with great Disney extremes and movie fanfare. He's halfway into the sky. Mr. Fredrickson, the Boy Scout, Carl, is on his patio, and he's flying with him into the air. And this annoying kid, this annoying Boy Scout, he's called an adventurer, is now on the adventure he never wanted to be. I mean, he wanted to do this adventure with himself and reflect on Evie, reflect on the time they would have done together. And all of a sudden, he now has this annoying Boy Scout with him. You ever feel like that? then this adventure you want to go on all your life, there's something that you wanted to go on and things stop you. There's things that limit you. I don't know whether it's sickness, whether it's people dying you never thought would die, whether it's some complication that's not helping you with your finances, whether it's the sadness in the family. It's just limiting you from going on the adventure that you always thought you would go on. You ever have that? In the movie, Mr. Fredrickson not only has now have an adventurer Boy Scout with him on this journey to go to Paradise Falls, he meets an annoying bird that keeps swallowing his walking stick. He meets an annoying dog who has the ability to talk. He has a special necklace, so every time the dog thinks something, it says it. So now he has three annoying people on this journey towards Paradise Falls. And it's making more and more crotchety. How am I ever going to get to the place that I always thought was going to be so wonderful with Evie and I? How did I ever gather these three things? This great big 8-foot bird called Kevin, this dog that can talk, and all of us, and this stupid Boy Scout. And you can feel him getting more and more crotchety as the movie goes on. All he wanted to do was to go on an adventure. In our Bibles, the disciples want to go on an adventure. In fact, they're not disciples yet. They're just good old Jews. And these Jews have angled their life. They've inclined their life, all their lives, to wait for and look for the Messiah who is going to deliver them from bondage. And they decide to follow this one guy, John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer is a little weird. He wears sackcloth. He eats locusts. He's walking around the desert saying, "Make way, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Your Messiah is about to come." And these guys decide to follow John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer is telling them about the Messiah, and they decide to follow him. And so we pick up the gospel story Catherine read to us in John, in the book of John, the fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in John chapter 1. You can follow along. We'll put it on the screen as well. And we're halfway through the first chapter, and we're with John the Baptist. John the Baptizer is with his people, with his disciples, with those that are following him. It says, the following day, John, that's John the Baptizer, was again standing with the two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "what are you saying? Come and see." It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. So John the Baptizer had been pointing all the time to the Messiah who was to come. He was preparing his people, preparing those who were following him to follow Jesus. And now he's standing in the marketplace where he normally hung out, where he normally taught his people. And who should walk by? The one they've been angling their life for all the time. Just walk by. "Hey, look, there he is. Go follow him." Now, John wasn't sad that his disciples weren't following him anymore. John didn't get like have an ego complex because they weren't following him. He said, "No, this is the reason I'm here. I'm here to set you up to follow that guy." And the adventure began. The adventure of their lives began. And so they went over and followed him. Jesus seen them follow him and says, "What do you want?" Jesus' intonation wasn't, "What do you want?" It wasn't, "Yeah, aunt?" It was, "What is it you really want?" life? What is it you really want to do with your life? What is this adventure that you want to be on? And the two guys, the first two that were with John the Baptizer, one of them was Andrew, says, well where are you hanging out? Where are you living right now? We kind of want to hang out with you. We want to be in and amongst what you're doing. We see what you are doing. John the Baptizer has told us about you, told us that you'd come, and you kind of look like the Messiah, and we want to hang out with you. So they spent the rest of the afternoon with Jesus, hanging out and listening to what he had to say. I had the privilege this last week of hanging out with about 170 teenagers at Warren Willis camp to speak there each night. Yes, it was a little late for this old guy, this old crotchety old man, but it was each night I got to speak to 170 teenagers. I got to hang out with them and teach them the love of God, to point them to Jesus as the Messiah. And it was no greater joy to see them kneeling at the altar rails, kneeling at the steps, deciding to follow Jesus. It still works. It still works in 2022, even. And I had the privilege to lead them to that. I had the privilege to tell them that God loves you. And the whole theme of the week was, what does God love look like? It looks patience. It looks like kindness. It looks like it's self-sacrificing, and it never gives up. And the students went away with that in their head for the rest of the week. Here at Camp Cobber, every day of the week's gone by, and next week's the last week, we have like 400 kids here being led to Jesus. Every day they're in this room for opening session where we do community, together, and then we teach them about the love of God. And we hang out. What is it you really want? What is the adventure that you want to go on? Is it a life that is pointed towards the Messiah? Is it a life that's after some, you know, a bigger boat than the one you had last year? Is it a nicer bike than I had last year? Is it to this one place, the Paradise Falls, that when you get there, you can finally go, oh, yeah, and then take the Instagram shot and tell everybody and get everybody to tag along it and to like it. Okay, now I'm on my adventure. Back to the scripture. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of those men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is now Simon, son of John, but you will be called Peter." So Andrew, one of the followers of John the Baptizer, decides to run as fast as he could to tell his brother. He had a strong tie with his brother. They were like really close together. And for some reason, he was some other place. And Andrew ran to find his brother, Simon, and said to him, "Guess what? Guess what? The one we've been angling our life to all our lives, the one we've been looking for, is now here. His name is Jesus, and he's right here. Come and see." And they ran to meet Jesus, the Messiah. They ran to meet the man from Nazareth. I don't know what the interaction was like between Jesus and Simon. But I imagine him grabbing hold of him like on his shoulders, like we did Dana right here, grabbing hold of him on his shoulders and saying, In fact, this is such an amazing encounter that your name is now going to be called Peter. And later he would say to him, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. You're going to be a leader of these band of ragabonds, and you're going to be the one who leads other people to Jesus too. And you'll see teenagers and young people following Jesus like never before. And you'll see them spread all across the world to this strange country called the United States of America, and then all the way to Palm Harbor, and those people will follow Jesus too. Amen? Your name is now Peter. On this rock, on you who get it, on you who've now had an experience with me, your name is now Peter. And you and your brother have now embarked on this amazing journey. He says, come and follow me. And then he goes to this little place called Galilee. Next verse, he says, the next day, Jesus decides to go to Galilee. They're going to spend a lot of time around here. He found Philip there and he said to him, come, follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida and Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets who they wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. So they go to Galilee. Notice they go to Galilee, which is up the north, not Jerusalem, where all the religious activity is. They go to Galilee. And while they're in Galilee, for some reason, Jesus chooses Philip. And he says to Philip, Philip, come and follow me. Does Philip say, cool, I just got invited by Jesus. I'm off to follow him by myself. I'm all good. I'm in. No, what's the first thing that Philip did? What's the first thing that he did? You can join in. He goes to tell Nathanael. He goes to tell Nathanael, and he runs to tell Nathanael and say, guess what? Everything that we've read all of our lives, everything that we have been following, everything, the prophets that we've been listening to, the psalms that we've recited, all of the poems and every writing in the Tanakh, the 39 books that we call the Old Testament, everything in there, the 613 laws we've been following, everything that Moses has said, I have now found him. Are we excited? Nathanael and what? This is him? They run to see Jesus and follow on these four people. And on these four people, according to John's gospel, is the foundation for this church. The foundation for this church is that we experience a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what happened to these four guys. And the adventure of a lifetime started. The adventure that they were about to embark on was something they never thought was going to happen. This wasn't like the ordered life of the tabernacle. This wasn't like the ordered life of the temple. This wasn't nice and easy and fast rules like the 613 they've been following and the Ten Commandments that we follow. This was very unordered with Jesus at the helm. And they started to follow this guy, and he would go around and invite more people to follow him. More people to join the adventure that they never thought was going to happen. Oh, there were some ups, and then there were some downs. The whole thing on the sea was pretty scary if you're a disciple on the Sea of Galilee when the boat was rocking and Jesus is walking on the water. Whoa, that was freaky. And then we went to see that guy who had the demons in him, and Legion had the 10 demons in him, and he was freaking out, and Jesus was just like, dude, you healed. And then there was the guy that came through the roof and they lowered him through. We were trying to do some like religious stuff, and someone lowered the guy through the roof and you healed him too. There were some ups and there were some downs. One of our own, if that were possible, one of our own betrayed you He dobbed you into the bad guys just for a bit of moolah. Oh, but it's been an adventure. It's an adventure that these disciples loved. These 12 people, the apostles, who then told other people. And when Jesus died and ascended into heavens after 40 days, off they went, transforming the world, telling people beyond Judea and Jerusalem, Samaria, or way beyond those places, all the way to this little town called Palm Harbor. And we are now embarking on the same journey that these 4 disciples did. We found the very person that Moses talked about. All of it just connects perfectly together. This is the journey that you are on. This is the journey that God has set before us so that we might have a life that is more abundant than we ever thought. You might be saying, this is a young man's game. This is just something the kids do. This is just something the young girls do when they're in their teenage years and they think it's great. There's no age limit to this journey, people. There's no age limit towards the adventure that this starts in us. I don't care how old you are, what stage of life you're in. There's an adventure following Jesus, amen? And if you don't believe me, I got a personal text this week from one guy that has been recently attending our church. He says, following Jesus has been and still is the greatest adventure of my life. This is an unsolicited text. He says, I went to seminary at 53, became a pastor. I was a chaplain for the NFL. I was a chaplain for the major minor league baseball. I went on 5 mission trips to Africa, 1 to Czech Republic, Brazil, and the Amazon. I've been counseling addicts in the Florida community. And although I'm now 72... the adventure continues, all for the glory of God and his son, Jesus. Amen? He's 72. He's a young guy. Where does the adventure begin? It can sometimes see the adventure that you set out on is not the one you thought was going to be, right? It sometimes seems that things got in the way of the carefully laid out plans that you had. Sometimes seems that some things cropped up that you never seen that happening. Sometimes people get sick you never thought. Sometimes there was a lesson of adventure in the thing that you planned in the first place. Some people turn up that you don't like. Some circumstances turn up that you have tried and tried and tried to work out, and it's still there. In the movie Up, we start really low in that movie, and towards the end, Mr. Fredrickson starts to realize a few things. The annoying bird that keeps swallowing his cane is actually kind of nice to be around. He's a good company. He realizes the dog that constantly talks to him, he's waiting for him to talk, and he becomes his companion. And the craziest thing is his relationship with the Boy Scout. You see, Carl was doing this all to be a senior adventurer. He was doing it for the final pin on the sash, you know? He was ready to get that final pin and be called a senior adventurer. So one of the final scenes of the movie sees the Boy Scouts lined up and the guys announcing what pin they got, what badge they got. And he walks up to Carl and he realizes that Carl doesn't have a parent, a chaperone next to him. Where's your father? The guy says. The den leader says to him, where's your father? And sure enough, in comes Mr. Fredrickson. Excuse me, old man coming through, he says. He walks up and he has the honor to pin on his sash, helping the elderly. And then on top of that, he gives him the pin that was his wife's, the grape soda pin that signified that he was the greatest adventurer ever. And all the people with souls start crying. He realizes that, actually, and there's a moment where he says, oh, where's my cane? The stupid bird keeps swallowing his cane. Where's my cane? He says, I don't need it anymore. There's this beautiful moment where the journey that he's been on, the adventure that he's been on, it's actually been a healing adventure for him. He doesn't need his cane anymore. What adventure do you want to go on? Is it an adventure packed with uncertainties? Is it an adventure that's packed with carefully laid out plans that you fill out each day? Is it an adventure that is following Jesus? I can't promise you a nice, easy ride. I can't promise you calm seas. Sometimes the sails will flap and there'll be no wind whatsoever. I can't promise you that the sea won't be bouncy. I can't promise you that everything's just going to be mountain vistas. There'll be some valleys. There'll be some lows. There'll be some highs. But following Jesus is the best adventure you can ever have. Amen? Amen. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what background you come from. I don't care whether you start today. I don't care whether you start again. Following Jesus will be the greatest adventure you ever have. I want to give you a moment here today to do that. To decide to follow Jesus. To decide to take on that great adventure. We're going to have a moment where the rails are open, the kneelers are open. You're welcome to come down, and you can just sit right in your seat, right in your chair, and that can be your own little personal altar. I want to give you a moment to think about joining the greatest adventure ever. I want to give you a moment to decide to follow Jesus. We'll put the slide up. We're going to text to a number if you want to follow, and we can follow up with you, and we can pray with you and see where you want to go on this great adventure. But it's my job and my joy to invite you on this adventure. So you can text the word follow to 353-LOVE if you decide for the first time, or indeed you wanna do it again, you wanna reboot like Mr. Fredrickson at 78 years old. Join the greatest adventure ever, because Jesus died that you might live and you might have life in abundance. He came down to this earth, fully God, fully man, so that you might have a transformative life with him here on this earth. And I want you to experience that too. Amen? Come. Join the adventure. Join the adventure. Kneel. Stay in your seat. Text on your phone. Text follow to 353-LOVE and join the greatest adventure ever. I'm going to give you some time to do that. I'm going to give you a bit of open time, and then I will wrap up with an ending prayer. Jesus, how we love you, and we want to join the adventure in following you. We've done it. Some of us have done it all of our lives. Some of us continue to do it. But we pray, Lord God, we would continue to join that. And if we've done it anew, done it for the first time, Lord, may we be bold enough to share that with each other. May we be bold enough to share it with those who continue on that journey. Guide us. Show us how to live our best life following you. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And all of the journey travelers said, Amen.